Ladies and gentlemen, this show is brought to you exclusively by the Reality Check Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it's me, Santino Marelli. Today I'm going to give a little bit shout out to the Rad Turtles Wrestling Podcast. Ninja Turtles were not real. And it's on Reality Check Podcast Network. Well, Reality Check, Ninja Turtles were not real. Trust me, I went in the sewer myself. I got trapped, police department came, fire department, long story. So check out the podcast. Because what else are you going to do? To check out Rad Turtles Wrestling? It's fun to say Rad Turtles. Son of my God. In fact, the Turtles chocolate candy, that's my mother's favorite candy, so that's something positive.
Welcome everybody to the Rad Turtles Wrestling Podcast. An in-depth, hard-hitting, cutting-edge look at today's product of the world of professional wrestling. Now, without further ado, let's introduce your host, Rad Rob, Rob Francois. Hey guys, welcome back to the Rad Turtles Wrestling Podcast. This is your RTW WrestleMania 36 pregame show. It is also day 6 of hashtag RadMania 2. I am your host, Rad Rob, Rob Francois, joined by my longtime partner, the one and only Mr. No Days Off, Johnny Podcasting, the hashtag Scandinavian God, Mr. John Wanglin. What's going on, John? How you doing, buddy? Happy WrestleMania Day.
How's everything going for you, man, today? Happy WrestleMania Day.
Well, obviously, this is the second take of this because I obviously do not understand electronics or software or anything like that because I'm an old man, but we're here, we're live, we're doing it again. I'm glad to be here. This is going to be a very unique event. It's something we never ever seen before, and I mentioned the first time that we missed it, but you know, I got to give the devil his due, although he didn't foresee any of this pandemic stuff going on. But probably about a year ago, Dave Meltzer said that that WrestleMania should be split between 2 days, and it would make it, you know, easier to digest. Do you think this is something that Vince McMahon uses going forward as a new model to kind of break up the monotony, like you mentioned before, of having to sit through 9 hours of WrestleMania?
I think optimistically it's a good idea. I mean, because for me, I would rather sit down through less than 7 or 8 hours straight of that stuff. Like, it's just way too much. Like, last year when we did it, if you remember, we did the stream before, like we're doing right now. Then we did watch the whole show, including the pregame. And then we did the after show. So for us, it was like 13 hours that day.
Yeah.
And then everybody else is just getting it. And it's still crazy amounts of time, like 7, 8 hours worth of watching, 9 hours of everything. It's just too much, man. So I could see them doing it. Meltzer, for once, had a decent idea about that. But
one time.
You know, yeah, just for once. Out of 40 years, putting one good idea out there doesn't get him any credit in my book. But it's tough, you know, because you got to figure out, you know, the logistical aspect of it. Do they charge double the admission for 2 nights? How are they going to do that? You know, NXT takeovers typically on the night before. Are you going to move takeover back, the Hall of Fame back? Like, how are you going to do it? So they would have to probably move it to Thursday then for, like, the Hall of Fame. And then Friday, you know, now you have SmackDown and NXT. There's so much that goes into it with their live programming. I don't think they could for that, but if anybody could, it would be them.
No, that's a really good point. That's not something actually factored. I don't know if Dave did either. What do you do with NXT? What do you do with the Hall of Fame, you know, SmackDown and all that? Yeah, there aren't enough days in a week, which Vince already thinks that anyway. But yeah, I don't think a 2 day thing would work. I'd like to see it just for the fact that if I'm going, I don't want to sit in the seats for 9 hours. You know, I'd rather get the split between 2 days. If you look at, say, baseball games that have double headers, they charge double admission for, you know, the day night doubleheader. I think that's something you would have to do with wrestling, but, you know, to your point, with all the other events that you have going on, I just don't think that's possible. But this is going to be a very unique show. I don't know any spoilers. I know you know a couple, but I haven't asked you for them at all. But everything has been pre-taped. Obviously, we know that Roman Reigns is no longer fighting Bill Goldberg for the Universal title. That is pretty much the only thing that was spoiled early on in the week. I don't know who broke that news first, but I also heard that whoever leaked it will most likely be fired if they find it out. WWE kind of had an internal notes that Fightful found out that anybody caught leaking anything about WrestleMania is a fireable offense. Now, do you fire Roman Reigns, who went on his own Instagram page and said that he was out? I mean, it's, you know, nobody should be above the law, right?
I guess not, man. I mean, he, I understand in his case, you know, like for how he did it. I don't, dude, they'd be fucking screwed if they took any action against him.
Yeah.
Dude, people would riot over that. Roman, that's the way to make Roman Reigns the biggest baby face in the world right there, is let them pull some real life stunt with him and him go off on it. So I don't think they do anything to Roman, you know, I don't on that. I think if it's pretty easy to determine now who would be spoiling anything, but spoilers haven't come out there online. I haven't seen any. Have you?
Yes, I have. Oh, yeah. I saw one. Website? I saw one web page that said, you know, it had a warning, spoilers. So I didn't click on it. So I can't speak to what was
what
on it.
Was
you know, it was just a Google search that popped up. It was.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
I could have been a clickbait.
It could have been like, yeah. I didn't click on it to see, but you know, Roman Reigns pulling out of this match. They didn't announce. Although we knew about it before SmackDown last week. They didn't even address it until SmackDown this week. I've been covering it all week on my show. I go on WWE.com, you know, for all three shows this week, and I just want to see what they were reporting in real time. And up until Friday, they hadn't even announced it on their own website or even acknowledged it. So we got like a quick 10-second graphic during SmackDown last night where, you know, Michael Cole, obviously in an obvious, you know, voiceover because the show was already pre-taped, said that Roman Reigns is no longer, or Bill Goldberg's no longer fighting Roman Reigns. He was fighting the Monster Among Men, Braun Strowman, and that was it. They didn't have any other mention of it whatsoever. They just glossed over it in probably less than 10 seconds. Very, very odd that they would choose to do that. What would be the reasoning behind the fact that they don't want to get into it?
I guess they factor in the fact that people are just going to forget about it and not even think about it. And they're just, it's like one of those things, like if you're trying to get your kids to eat their vegetables, you know, you'll see when they get older, man, you got to try to sneak it in there somehow or another and find a way to sneak it in. This is kind of their way to sneak it in and not address the monkey in the room, you know, or the elephant in the room, whatever you want to call it there, because it's glaring, it's right in front of people's face, but they think if they just scroll by it, people are not going to remember it. They're not going to forget, or they're going to forget. They don't really care. But people took him to task for it last night for doing that. You can't do it no matter how you want to do it. Just don't gloss over. And then Triple H went on this week, which did him a disservice, and was talking about in an interview, in a video interview, about how they're going to cover this and how you're going to be surprised on it, you know, come this week, back down, and then they give you nothing. So it's like, it makes them both look like liars and just completely stupid. So it's not that big of a deal. Cover the damn thing. People don't understand. They're not mad about it.
I mean, we already know about it. Roman literally, like I said, came out and talked about it. Why hide from it? I understand things are pre-taped, but obviously, like they did last night, just throw in a post at it. You know what I mean? Just do, you know, throw in a quick little video from Michael Cole saying, you know, due to Roman Reigns' condition, you know, he doesn't feel safe wrestling. Like, they won't even mention the virus. Like, they haven't even mentioned the word virus or pandemic or COVID-19 or coronavirus. They've done their best to keep that language out of it, which I get because they don't want people to focus on it and worry about it and think about it. They just want to entertain us while they're on. But, you know, even Roman himself said, you don't even know the reason why I backed out. Like, he was pretty vague about it as well. So,
they're doing this whole thing, too, with the everything. Is like, they're wanting the press to put it out there. And, of course, Fightful has to go do it because everybody knows that Sean Ross Sapp wants to be liked by them in the worst way, man.
Hey everyone, this is Stan Wangler from Just Thinking. Stop on by this week and listen to some of the great podcasts we have lined up for you. Two in particular are really good shows. One is called Are We Driving Ourselves Insane? Well, are we? And the next one is called Have You Been Having a Bad Day? Did you have a bad day? Well, if you did, this is the show for you. And I bet you, when you get done listening, you'll feel a lot better. So join us.
What's going on? You have John Wangland, one of the hosts of Wrestling With Reality. Check out our shows this week on Wrestling With Reality. We have some great shows. We have our MMA show. We look at, is Khabib Nurmagomedov versus George St. Pierre a reality? Why John Jones is such a disgrace to the UFC? We also have on WCW Monday Nitro Watch Along, and we take a look back at Triple H in his 25-year career in the WWE. So check out Wrestling With Reality on all major podcast outlets.
So they're sitting over there,
yeah,
and putting this out that there's despite reports that there's no coronavirus wrestlers that have been infected. Poor shit, man. There's eight or nine that people have already heard about, have talked about, and one of them is on the card tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So he had an early case of it and was treated, and thank God, you know, got by with it. I think Corey Graves hasn't been on because they don't want to bring him down. Fuck no. Go factor that for yourself, folks. You know?
Yeah.
They're bullshitting and sweeping under the rug. They don't want to talk about it because they don't want to face the consequence of that fact that they're running shows. So, same thing, you know, AEW hasn't had any reported, but if they did and it was getting out there, if they did the same thing, dude, you got to, if you play with fire, man, sometimes you're going to get burned. You got to sit over there, and if you're going to do the shows and tape them and somebody gets it and gets infected, and other people might be infected or whatever, just admit it. Go yeah. Move on from there. They willingly came and did it. You didn't put a gun to their head and say you have to come. You know, so just admit it. People are going to give you much more credit if you just admit it. You know, it's just other than that, don't sweep it under the rug. That's stupid, man.
Yeah, I mean, we heard various reports during the week that, you know, The Miz had it and other people were quarantined. They said Bobby Lashley was being quarantined and I think Dana Brooke was another one. They rattled off several names, but other than Roman, they're all still on the card.
Yeah, Miz is the only one. Miz isn't on it anymore. They took him off.
Did they take him off? Because they're still advertising it.
Yeah, they took him off from what I saw. It's going to be one Uso versus Morrison for the tag titles. That's what I'm hearing.
So, wait.
I'll be a singles match.
A singles triple threat match for the tag team titles.
No, the New Day is out of it from what I heard.
The New Day are out.
That's what I heard.
That's so bizarre.
We'll see how they address it, because they didn't address it last night, right?
No, they did not. They didn't mention it at all. They said the match was on. The only thing that they said that maybe a question would be Elias versus King Corbin because of Elias getting hurt last week. I don't know if maybe Elias could be sick too. I don't know.
I have no idea. I'm telling you, I've heard it's one Uso versus Morrison, and that's the match. And I don't know anymore. It could be wrong. They could have gone out with it. I heard The Miz reported there, and then he was sick, and they ended up sending him home, and he got quarantined.
Huh. Wow.
That's what. But who knows? We'll go with it, you know, from what it's advertised. Because if we have sat over there and talked about it, then we'll just go with what's advertised right now. But if you see that swerve there, you heard it right here.
Yeah, well, alrighty then.
It doesn't really matter.
No, it really doesn't, I guess. So let's break down.
Think about this really quick, Rob. Yeah. I got one thing to say on it. If that's sure. the case, if they do go that way with one of the Usos versus Morrison, what a fall from grace from Kofi. He can't even be on the damn, you know, he's not even. It would be bad enough he was in this tag match after what he did last year, but he might not even be on the card here, potentially, on the pre-taped fucking card. Where they're struggling to get people on it, man, and he's not even on. And last year, he was your big WrestleMania moment.
I mean, we got 18 matches between the two nights, so
Christ.
Yeah, if you can't be on, there's something wrong with you. But let's break down all the matches. My original plan was to do a pregame and postgame show for both days, but that's well too much work that we want to get into this week. I think
we'll quickly gloss over these matches too, because 18, we could be here until the end of WrestleMania.
Yeah, exactly. But we'll be on after tomorrow night, on Sunday night, for an official post game show, just wrapping up both days. So don't expect a post show tonight. But let's start off here with the kickoff shows. They just announced two kickoff matches for today and tomorrow. The first one being Cesaro against Drew Gulak. Obviously, we've seen on SmackDown for the last several weeks a feud between Sami Zayn's faction and Gulak and Daniel Bryan, interchanging each competitor on matches every week. I don't even know if I've ever asked you what you think of Drew Gulak. And do you see potential in him at all? Do you think he's a star?
I see potential with him. I don't know about a star, but I think he's very good with what he's doing. I'll be interested to see how it plays out. I think you got to give him some wins here. You know, cruiserweight champ and was on 205 Live forever. Now he's starting to get a go about it. But I liked what I've seen from him so far. I think there's definite potential for him. He's a very solid performer out there. He looks like the guy he's paired up with a lot, like Daniel Bryan. They have very similar mannerisms and trajectories to their career. So, you know, we'll see. I definitely don't dislike him in any way. I think he has some potential. If built right, maybe he could do something.
Yeah, I agree. And obviously, we know how great Cesaro is and how underutilized he's been over the years. But not that this really means anything, because I don't know where we're going to move forward with storylines or how long we're going to keep running shows. You never know. They may just, with the whole stay-at-home thing, maybe at some point they pull the plug. But for the foreseeable future, they'll still be pre-taping shows. That being said, coming out of this match, who do you see coming out on top? Cesaro or Gulak?
I'm gonna have to go with Gulak on this one.
I agree. I don't think it really matters to Cesaro. I mean, he's been booked so poorly, and if they really are trying to push this kid and make him, you know, a star by putting him with Daniel, yeah, he's got to get the win. I agree with that one. Yep. The other kickoff match, we have Liv Morgan taking on Natty. I don't think anybody could give less of a fuck about this match.
Who the fuck cares about Liv Morgan and no talent Natty, man?
Do they even have a history together? I don't even know. I haven't even seen him on TV in the last 3-4 weeks, so this kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah, it's just so Natalya can come out with her cat ears and be completely irrelevant as she always is, man.
And unfortunately, there's nobody ringside that can take the ears from her, so maybe she'll put them on Michael Cole or somebody.
Michael Cole would probably like it. You know, he's probably a big fan of No Talent Natty there. So give me a break, dude. Give me Natalya's winning this one. They got to give her some type of win. Nobody gives as less of a shit about this match as me.
I could give less of a shit, too, but I'm going to actually go the opposite. I'm going to take Liv Morgan on this one.
That's the way they should.
That's the way they should, yes, absolutely. Kevin Owens against the Monday Night Messiah, Seth Rollins. These guys have been feuding for the last several months. Obviously, we know AOP went down. I think Rezar was the one that got hurt. I think he tore his bicep. So they're on the shelf. Haven't seen anything with Buddy Murphy recently.
He's quarantined as well, from what I understand.
Okay. Why don't they just quarantine the whole goddamn show?
Yeah, pretty much.
But yeah, this should be the blow-off between Owens and Rollins. I'll start off, I think Rollins will still be over based on how strong his character is. But, you know, at one point Kevin Owens was, you know, what we thought was going to be in the Drew McIntyre spot, and he's not. So I think if Owens loses this match, it's really going to hurt him moving forward. So I think they're going to put Owens over the top on this one. What do you think?
I agree. I think they're going to put Owens over the top here. Rumor has it that Rollins is the next one that's going to go for the winner of the Universal title match there, so that he's the next one. But still, you can still have him lose here and have him win some type of qualifying match or something for the next one at the belt and still be fine. I think Owens needs the win here. But yeah, I think you're going to get Owens for the win on this one. I think you need to.
It's pretty alarming at the lack of top heels that they have on Raw right now. And not just because of the whole pandemic, but just because of they haven't really built anybody up. I mean, after Rollins, who do you go with? I mean, you can't keep going back to Brock Lesnar. It's like, I don't see any other top heels. I don't see them ever pushing Lashley up to that spot. Nope. You know, are we going to see any call-ups from NXT? I mean, it's typically what we do after WrestleMania, but with everything being a state of flux because it's stupid fucking virus, man, like, what do you think their plans are moving forward? Just take it one week at a time? Or it's unprecedented, man. Like, I keep using that term, but it's true. We've never been up against this before. And do you keep pushing forward with storylines?
I mean, there's been rumors they might take time off after this week here, kind of wrapping everything up. There's rumors they might take off for a few weeks there, but you know, we all know the McMahons. To me, honestly, there's going to be, it's very hard to make a special moment with no crowd, especially if you're bringing somebody up.
Right.
I think AEW did a very good job to do it there. I didn't think they could pull it off when they did it, but I think they did a really good job with it. But it would have been way better if it would have been in front of a crowd. It would have been more magical. You know, but I think they did a good job with it. With this coming out now, for the WWE, I think you got to wait, man. I really do. I think people, they have enough programming that they could find things to plug in. They could do some specials in the place or just run some kind of like a rinse and repeat type show afterwards because the show's still got to go on for them. But I would put some stuff in the can for a month like AEW did. And when you get live again, you restart it and you make that first show back really special.
Yeah.
That's how I would. But I doubt they'll do it that way.
Who knows, man? I mean, this could be the first time that WWE takes time off like never has been done in their television history. You know, other than being preempted by a dog show when primetime was syndicated back in the day.
Oh,
but
my Lord, the Westminster dog show.
Yeah,
the
I mean,
US, or the US Open tournament.
Yeah, I mean, since Raw has started, though, I mean, WWE has been on in one form or another on some channel.
Yeah.
For the last, you know, what, 27 years.
Yeah. It's been a staple. So I don't know, but you know, we have to really factor in also too, this might be the way it's going to be for the legitimate, you know, inevitable future for a while for this month. This is a legit problem. It might be the inevitable nature of how they're going to have to do things for a long period of time. And I think, you know, that's why AEW taped a month of their stuff in advance, just because, just in case. You can do whatever you want with that footage anyways. I think WWE would be smart to do the same thing too, which like they did this week with WrestleMania. You got all their programming in because they've taped everything out to SmackDown already from what I understand.
Yeah, that's what I heard too. I mean, but like with sports in general, I mean, you know, Pooh Bear was on the show this week and, you know, he doesn't see anybody getting together in large gatherings possibly for the rest of the year because how can you know if you're safe or not? I mean, how do you really know when the virus has been eradicated? All it takes is one person to be at a fucking football game in September and infect, you know, who knows, and just start all over again.
I agree.
You know, it's just,
I think you're totally gonna have a change in scenery here for things. He's very right. You might not see it for the rest of the year.
Now, I don't ever get involved in politics in the show, but, you know, obviously your favorite president, Mr. Trump, is supposedly meeting with the head of every major sport, including WWE, including Vince McMahon, sometime this week to discuss a game plan moving forward. That's a very slippery slope. I mean, I don't see the heads of these organizations wanting to risk putting people, you know, putting people at risk by possibly getting them infected. I mean, I get the fact that you want to return to normalcy and try not to panic anymore, but dude, this shit isn't getting any better. Every day you hear more cases being reported. Do you see any sports running this year?
Man, that's that. You're not seeing basketball. You're not seeing the NHL. That ain't coming back this year. You can just scrap that one there. They'll get a mulligan for next year. You know, baseball maybe.
It's such a long season, though. Man. Yeah.
It is. It's long. I mean, so you're going to have to shorten it anyways. They haven't even finished fucking spring training yet.
I mean, we don't even have the NFL draft. Like, is that? I don't even know if that's going to happen.
They said it is, but I'll believe it when I see it. You know, I mean, they said it is. It's still going to go. I don't think they're going to have an audience, but.
So what if what if he tries to convince the owners, and I'm just speculating here, to go down the route that Vince McMahon has taken and AEW has taken and hold your games in front of no crowds?
Man, I don't think he can do it.
Yeah.
For those ones, I don't think he can.
Can you imagine how silent a hockey game or a football game would be with nobody there? You just hear the guys
that
would
be insane.
Like, it's just fucking weird, man. Like, I don't know. I don't see the purpose of the meeting. I know he wants to get everybody back to work, but at some point, man, you got to use better judgment and say, you know, worst case scenario, we all stay home, nothing happens, you know? Or best case scenario, but you put people back in play. Like, I'm an essential employee. I work in the trucking industry. I have to be there. Certain members of our, you know, like me and obviously grocery stores and healthcare workers are deemed essential. But for a sport that's recreational, I know it makes a lot of money. Like, don't get me wrong. It's great for the economy. But fuck, man, you're opening up a whole new can of worms if you try to get games going again and you can't even allow people to be in the crowd. Anyway, we don't need to break this down in entirety, but It's just...
No, it's, look it, at it, man. It's going to be interesting to see.
Yeah, it's just... It's bizarre. This whole situation is bizarre. Anyway, getting back to WrestleMania. I'll get off my soapbox. Otis taking on Dolph Ziggler. Obviously, from last night in SmackDown, we saw a little bit of who's been behind this whole hacking thing that's been going on for several months with the ring of lights popping in the screen. And now we saw this person in a hoodie with a disguised voice that just pushed a button and said and showed footage of what really happened between Mandy and Otis, where Sonya Deville was the culprit and deleted all of Otis's texts, and Dolph Ziggler was in on it. Do you believe that the rumor is Mustafa Ali is behind this whole thing? And if so, do you think this is the right role for him?
No.
But I mean, at least he's getting a push. You know what I mean? Like, they haven't done anything with him at all.
Yeah, they're doing nothing with him. It's good to see him doing something. I don't know, you'd want to see somebody that's kind of playing like the vigilante, like, you know, the one that's kind of trying to...
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I see, like an Arrow kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I know he's a cop and stuff, and I like Mustafa Ali as a human being.
I do too.
A tremendous guy. I think he's a great role model for kids and for their company. Is he enough of a star yet for this? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm so sick of Dolph Ziggler. I'm just, like, Dolph Ziggler is so flat to me, man. He just goes about the paces and does his thing.
I agree.
And I was always a big fan of him, but I guess, you know, I mean, who else is it? Maybe it's Xavier Woods coming back early.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's not going to happen. But, you know,
I think it's definitely Ali.
Yeah. The guy in the chair didn't look very big to begin with, so, I mean, he looked around the same size, and obviously they said the ring of lights are the same thing that he has on his glove and his palm or whatever, so it makes sense. I like it only because it's something unique that we haven't seen in a while, and, you know, other than The Fiend and maybe some Undertaker stuff last few years, like, you don't typically see this kind of, I don't know, outside-the-box gimmicky kind of thing, you know what I mean? Like, something different, like, I don't want to say, like, Dark Order-ish, but you know what I mean. Like, something other than just, you know, Seth Rollins, Kevin Owens. Blah, like, we have, you know, I don't know how to explain it, but it's different. And I'm going to give it time to see how it plays out. Obviously, they've been doing this for quite a while now, and they're still pushing forward with it. But where do you see Heavy Machinery growing after this? Because I threw up on the flagship this morning that... you know, maybe we'll see a breakup of Heavy Machinery because Otis has been so distracted with the whole Mandy thing. He's kind of left Tucker out to dry. Do you think Tucker kind of gets pissed off or gets jealous of Mandy? And maybe they won't do this right away, but, you know, moving forward, if Otis and Mandy are going to be together, Otis is distracted all the time. I've said for months now that I think Tucker can be a really good heel. Do you see them breaking up, or what are your thoughts on the whole angle?
I don't want them to break up because I like them as a team and they haven't even had a title run yet. They just had a cup of coffee up there. I'd like to see them as a tag team. I'd like to see them get the belts here soon. But any other way is I can see them doing this. And I've heard that there's been discussions about them breaking up too.
Yeah.
So a great way to kind of do the swerve could be that Tucker costs them the match here tonight. And that kind of that does the breakup of it. And, you know, Tucker's doing aligning with, you know, Sonya Deville and Ziggler or whatever. And then Otis and Mandy are on their own, or maybe pulls the swerve back again and it was all set up by them, you know, with the whole thing with the person, but the person broadcast, I don't know, it's there's a lot of what ifs on this one, but I'd like to see them stay together. That's just me though.
Hey everyone, this is Sharon Waxman. I'm the founder and the editor-in-chief of The Wrap, the premier news source for daily coverage of the entertainment industry. I'm also your host of this new podcast, The Wrap Up, a show that gives you an insider's look at the top stories in Hollywood. Each week, we'll bring you the latest news on the business of movies, TV, streaming, and tech. So be sure to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, and we'll see you each week on The Wrap Up.
Business with personality. That's the idea that launched London's business newspaper, City AM, 15 years ago. And it's the same idea that inspired our new daily podcast, The City View, where you'll find me, City AM editor Christian May, interviewing the most well-known, influential and colourful figures from business, politics and finance. The City View from City AM. With a new episode every morning, it's the perfect start to your working day.
No, I agree. But for purposes for this match, I think if they're not going to do the breakup yet, I think you got to give Otis this win. Just after everything that's happened to him, You feel sorry for the poor bastard. So I'm going to go with Otis for this one.
I do. I'm going to go with Otis on this one. I think Manny helps him and he gets the win.
Bobby Lashley and Aleister Black, who have had, I think, zero interactions on screen. Why the fuck are they wrestling each other?
No idea. It's stupidity. Just to get him a match.
The way they've been squashing people with Black, I don't see any reason for him to lose this match. So there's not much to talk about. I'm picking Black to beat Lashley.
I'm picking Black too.
Elias against King Corbin. Last week on SmackDown, we saw Elias get attacked by Corbin, knocked off that perch that they were at the Performance Center, and landed on the concrete. As of last night on SmackDown, Michael Cole said his medical status is still up in the air. He's not officially cleared to wrestle yet. If this match happens, I can't vote against Elias unless he's too hurt and you know he's too vulnerable during the match and that gives Corbin a win and maybe this will be a feud moving forward. But again, you know, they've been building up this up for a few weeks of Elias interrupting Corbin with the guitar all the time when Corbin's trying to speak. Do you pay it off already? Do you give Elias the win?
I don't. I would give this to Corbin. I think he needs it more, to be honest with you. I think he's got more to lose from this. If they want to do anything with him this year, I mean, he's been a mainstay on their feuds for a long while now. And yeah, it was annoying as shit to have him and Roman 47,000 times. But I think you got to give him something else here. And it's shit or get off the pot with Corbin this year. And if you're going to push him anywhere, you got to start now. And I think he's got to pick the victory up here. And if this match goes on, I'm going to go with Corbin, actually.
I agree. I'm going to go with Corbin as well. And I see this playing out two ways. Either one, the only reason why they mention the fact that Elias's medical status is up in the air is because they want to build intrigue to see if he actually shows up. Or two, the way I see them giving Corbin to win is by forfeit. Elias can't answer the bell, and Corbin wins by forfeit, and he can hold it over Elias's head for the next couple of weeks where Elias is like, you didn't win shit, man. Like, you fucking almost killed me. I couldn't wrestle.
You're going to have Gronk come out and take his spot.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Or Mojo, for fuck's sake. We haven't even mentioned Gronk. You know, everybody knows I'm a big New England Patriots fan, but when it comes to Rob Gronkowski outside of the football field, I think he's obnoxious. I literally can't stand. I never liked the whole partying thing. I can't believe Belichick never kept him in control when it came to all that. And I think Gronk is fucking cringe. I'm not looking forward to seeing him at all. And that's from a diehard Patriots fan who thinks he's a bona fide Hall of Famer in his short career. I'm not looking forward to him hosting this event. I think he's a dumbass.
I do too. And that music is awful. Mojo is awful.
Yes.
His dancing was awful.
Yeah.
It all needs to
stop. Yeah, I agree. The first ever, well, we think it's the first ever, Boneyard match. Not sure what the rules are. I'm assuming it's a Buried Alive match. They just didn't want to use that vernacular because of everything that's going on. But they haven't done anything to explain the rules of this match. But we have The Undertaker taking on AJ Styles. We've seen a little bit of the Biker Taker lately. You know, the American Badass is back. Taker mentioned something about unleashing the Holy Trinity on Styles during this match. Do you think they do something funky like a Bray Wyatt kind of thing? And we'll get all kind of three sides of Taker, maybe, you know, old school Taker, the American Badass, and Big Evil. I mean, what could he possibly mean by using the Holy Trinity? I'd like to get your thoughts on that.
I think that he's probably just like, I think you picked it up right. I think he's probably trying to encompass all aspects of his career and his gimmicks and stuff.
Yeah.
Just kind of like the all-out whoop-ass on him here, the Undertaker character, the mystique. It's done. It's time you've taken it personal. It's time that we do this. Knock this shit up here, man. And he just goes all old school on him here and just tries to take him out and get a complete ass whooping on him.
Now, I haven't had a chance to talk to you about this, but how have you felt about AJ calling him Mark Calloway, using his real name, bringing his wife into it, even Taker saying, you want to get personal? Fine, Alan Jones, let's get fucking personal. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on it? Because obviously the guys didn't have any heat together. They had to build some kind of heat between them and make it personal. Have you enjoyed the way they went about it?
I think it's been okay. I leave those other two dipshits out of it, man. The OC, I don't even.
I'm pretty sure they'll get involved, but yeah, they'll
they're going to be involved. I'm going to bring them to the match and all that. You know, it's been okay. It's you know, not what I wanted to see, but I'm kind of glad that we didn't get him and Sting now because that would have sucked in front of
nobody. So. Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, so I mean, it's not been that bad. I like AJ getting personal with all that stuff, and I think it could work. So it's been better than I thought it would be. I don't have a lot of high intentions for this match. I think it's just going to be, to quote the good old Jim Ross there, man, it's just going to be a good old-fashioned slobber knocker, and they're just going to beat the shit out of each other in a graveyard and bury one. You know, and if AJ gets buried, he'll be back next week on Raw. He'll magically recover fast there on SmackDown. So, or Raw, excuse me.
Yeah.
He'll be back. Yeah. That's how it goes.
Yeah, I agree.
It's been okay.
I think they've done a good enough job with it, just trying to build up some suspense. The promos have been fantastic, especially Taker's promo this week. That got me really, you know, pumped for this match because, you know, one thing about this whole pre-tape stuff is the matches have been good. The promos have been off the fucking charts. I don't care if Vince never goes live again, to be quite honest. I'm enjoying the pre-tape shows more than the live shows, and that's pretty sad. But, yeah, I see Taker getting a win here. It's WrestleMania. He's lost enough in Mania. There's no reason to just, you know, keep muddying his record that he has already.
Yep, I agree, man. You got to give this to Taker.
Last man standing match. Unfortunately, Edge's first match in, what, 9 years? And it's going to be in front of nobody. So, kind of sucks.
Yeah,
it really sucks
for him.
Like, I'm glad we had that pop at the Rumble. But it's unfortunate that his first match back is going to be in front of nobody. But, again, he's taking on Randy Orton in a last man standing match. Both of these guys have had ridiculous promos. Like, if you literally want to sit a new wrestler, a young wrestler, down in front of the TV and be like, you want to learn psychology and how to conduct yourself as a pro wrestler and get over, watch these two fucking guys. Because this stuff here, you'll be remembering for the next 20 years. It's been that good.
Yeah, it's been great, man. I've really enjoyed this feud with these guys, and it's good to see Edge back. I'm interested to see what he can do in the ring solo. I think he's going to kill it. And Orton's been fantastic, too, so I've definitely enjoyed this stuff here, and it's done them a lot of great things, you know. Once again, I'd love to see this in front of a live crowd. The crowd would eat this up.
Oh, God,
the atmosphere,
yeah,
and everything.
I know.
But
it's sad.
I think they're still going to... Yeah, it is, man. I feel bad for Edge on this, you know, coming back, you know, having his first real match for this. But, hey, he's going to be around for a while, hopefully. And he signed a 3 or 4 year contract, whatever it was. So you will be seeing him again. I think he'll get his thing. But, you know, these guys are going to kill it. They're pros, man. And I'm going to go with Edge on this one. I think Edge is going to take this one.
Yeah, I agree. I don't want to say a wasted comeback, but his first match back, you can't see him losing right out of the gate. So I'll take Edge on that one as well. A Firefly Funhouse match.
Whatever that is.
Whatever the fuck that is. John Cena, the 16-time world champion, taking on The Fiend, Bray Wyatt. Last night on SmackDown was really, really good. John Cena's promo was interrupted by The Fiend's puppets, who were at each side of ringside. The lights go out. The Fiend is up on the perch, stares down John Cena, and all of a sudden they cut right behind Cena to Funhouse Bray Wyatt, who says, "Let me in." It was really, really well done. And the lights went out, came back on. John Cena was there by himself, just kind of wondering what the fuck just happened. So it was a really good way to end SmackDown. I'm looking forward to this. I guess the way they're filming it, it's going to be kind of like the House of Horrors match that Randy Orton had with Bray Wyatt. It's going to be a cinematic experience for us to enjoy. It wouldn't make sense for John Cena to win this match, correct?
No, absolutely not. Bray needs the win on this
one. I mean, he's gone, right? Like, The Fiend already lost to Goldberg. If you lose to John Cena, even though, hey, look, it's still John Cena. I know he hasn't been around for a year, but it's John Cena. He's been the man for the last 20 years. So I wouldn't put it past Vince to throw a shocker like, you know, like we saw with Lesnar and fucking Undertaker. But, yeah, I think The Fiend does get the win here. But if Cena does win, I won't be officially surprised because it's Vince McMahon. But yeah, I think The Fiend wins. You never know, man. But
I'm going with The Fiend though too.
I think it's gonna be fun though. It's gonna be probably something we've never seen before.
It'll be interesting. I don't know what a Firefight Funhouse match is, so I'll be interested.
If they would just explain this shit, like, I don't even think they know. But
yeah.
WWE Women's Tag Team Title match: Nikki Cross and Alexa Bliss taking on the champions Asuka and Kairi Sane. Yeah, I couldn't care less about this. You've said for months now, the women's tag team titles have been fucking irrelevant. Like, they've been used so poorly.
Terrible.
Ever since Bayley and Sasha won it the first time, they did nothing with it. I mean, they had a chance to make these titles pretty special, and they've literally blown it over the last year.
It sucked.
Yeah. But that being said, I'll take Nikki and Alexa. to take the belts.
Alexa's hot. I'll take her.
Yeah, she's smoking hot. Yeah. So we're not sure about this SmackDown tag team title match, but it's even harder to predict if we don't even know who the fuck's going to be in the match. Just for the sake of, I got to pick somebody. I guess Morrison and Miz retain the titles.
That's where I'm going to go with, I guess, for now.
I mean, it's just, it's
another match I could give two fucks less about, to be honest with you.
Agreed. WWE Intercontinental title match. Daniel Bryan, the challenger, taking on Sami Zayn. I don't see Sami winning. I mean, unless his guys get involved and there's a disqualification, but goddamn, you know how fucked finishes are at WrestleMania. I don't see Daniel Bryan losing, but who knows? They could pull a swerve. They could keep building up this whole Sami Zayn thing as the chicken shit leader and somehow squeaks out a victory. But does Daniel Bryan even need? I mean, he doesn't even need the title. That's why this is a hard one to predict for me, because no matter what, Daniel Bryan's still going to be over. I don't think he needs to have the Intercontinental title to be worth anything, but I still think they may go with him. What do you think?
I think they're going to go with Daniel on this one. The whole Sami thing was just a quick, progression into something there. They never even paid anything off with Strowman.
They didn't.
After the Elimination Chamber, which was crazy.
And now Strowman has a world title shot. Like out of nowhere.
Yeah. But you know what's so dumb about him? They mentioned it during the Sami Zayn thing last night, that he was the last one to beat he defeated the guy taking on Goldberg for the title, Braun Strowman, last time.
Yeah.
And they're blowing that shit up, and then you're going to try to book him over, and he's going to beat the Universal Champ or the Heavyweight Champ or whatever they call it over there. Come on, dude. Give me a break. I'm going to go with Braun.
Yeah, I agree. I think Braun should get the win, even though, like I said, he doesn't need the title, and if they did want to keep it on Sami for now, and maybe eventually break up that whole stable, they could, but yeah, I see Daniel Bryan taking the win here. Raw Tag Team Titles match. Angel Garza and his new partner, Austin Theory, who took over for Andrade. Apparently Andrade broke his ribs, I believe, in a match they had a couple weeks ago with Cedric Alexander. Or maybe it was a tag team. I don't remember what the hell match it was. But Andrade is out. Austin Theory is in. I know we've talked about him briefly on NXT. We think this kid has a pretty big future. They're taking on the champions, the Street Profits. They're pushing Angel Garza pretty hard right now, and I think he's going to be if we're looking for a next top heel because we don't have any, I think this kid is in line for that, and, you know, they're billing him as a ladies' man. You've mentioned the comparisons between him and Alberto Del Rio. I agree with that, and I think there's a little bit of Eddie Guerrero mixed in. Do you see Garza, in theory, taking the title from the Street Profits? Because, fuck, man, the Street Profits have gone over like a fucking fart in church.
I don't see it. I think it's just a slap together match. Got to feel bad for the Viking Raiders again, man.
Yeah, no shit.
For those poor guys. Like, here we're getting Angel Garza and Austin Theory, but the Viking Raiders can't even get a spot on the card here. I like Theory. I think he's got an upside, but he's been jobbed out on NXT over and over.
That's a good point.
So I think the Street Profits keep it. I think they're going to hold on to it for a while there. The tag team division over on that side is completely irrelevant, man. It just doesn't even... The tag team divisions just suck in WWE right now. It's, to me, like, there's no interesting feuds at all for any of these teams. Not that some are good, it's just there's no interesting feuds for them.
I agree. So to me, the Street Profits were just kind of a transitional thing because they wanted to get the belts off of Murphy and Rollins. I don't think that's their plan moving forward, but
no.
I'll go the opposite way. I'll pick Garza in theory, because I think if Andrade was involved, I think they would have won the tag team titles, but I don't think that plan differs. I think I see Garza in theory taking the titles. I'm going to go with them on that one.
Could be. Can we just stop the Andrade experience, man? This guy, he gets hurt.
Yeah.
He's up and down with everything he does. I've said it. I've never been impressed by the guy, man, and I'm still not impressed by him now. I think he sucks, man, in a lot of ways. I think he can go in the ring okay at times. He's a one-trick pony, man, to me. Like, he just... Him having his belt is for the U.S. belt. It's done nothing. It makes the belt look like shit. He never defends it anyways.
Yeah.
It's been the him and Umberto realm here forever. And coupled with his, substance abuse issues there and his failed drug tests along with everything. I'm so sick of Andrade. Get rid of him. Angel Garza is 50,000 times better than he is, man.
I agree. I think he's the new Andrade, but but
Andrade doesn't know it yet.
But way better. Yeah, Andrade doesn't know it yet. But fatal five-way elimination match for the SmackDown Women's Championship. The champion Bayley defending against Lacey Evans, Sasha Banks, Naomi, and Tamina Snuka. I think originally it was supposed to be like a six-person match or an eight-person match.
Dana was supposed to be in there, and she got taken out because of the COVID stuff.
Right, right. And they obviously didn't even call out. They didn't even mention that, to be quite honest.
No, they just took her off again. But nobody has it over there.
Yeah. Bayley's had the championship for, I think, 315 days or 17 days, something like that. Yeah, I can't even believe it's been that long, and she's done nothing with it. I can't see her retaining here, so do we finally pull the trigger with Lacey Evans, or do you think Sasha takes it, and that finally sets up the match that we thought was going to happen at this year's WrestleMania? And we got Sasha against Bayley. Who do you think comes out on top here?
Just somebody, as long as it's not Tamina, as long as it's not Bayley.
I doubt it's going to be Tamina.
Tamina got the win last night. That's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's her first singles win that she's had in about 20 years of being there.
Right.
I would like to see Lacey get it, but I think you're going to get Sasha that's going to pull out the win here, so I'm going to go with Sasha.
Yeah, I mean, they've done nothing with her, and, you know, Lacey, for as much as they've tried to put her over, I still think she's too green in the ring. I think she's clumsy and clunky. I don't think she's a real natural athlete. I mean, I love her as a person. Like, she's like a former Marine. She's a great mom, you know. But yeah, she needs time to, and she's just not ready yet. I agree. I'm going to go with Sasha on this one because I think it builds up more intrigue between the two best friends if you put a title in the mix. So I finally want to see that Sasha Bayley payoff. Yeah.
315 days?
Something like that, yeah. It's well over
300. What an uneventful run, man. She sucks.
Telling me, man. I couldn't believe when they threw that stat out last night.
That's insane.
WWE NXT Women's title match. The first time an NXT title of any sort is being defended on WrestleMania. We have Charlotte Flair challenging Rhea Ripley. Who do you see coming out on top of this one?
Rhea. You got to.
Really? Even though it's Charlotte Flair and she typically wins the big matches, I mean, she at one point was the queen of the pay-per-views, so.
It's been a long time since she's been that, though.
Dude, when they re-showed that Triple Threat main event from last year's WrestleMania, I forgot how bad Charlotte Flair is. Like,
she's not good, man. Everybody she was not.
Yeah, I agree. Like,
sucks, dude.
She has to be with the right person, but she felt out of place in that match. And really, Ronda and Becky, I hate to say it, Becky, but they were the stars of that match. And Charlotte botched a whole bunch of shit. So
go watch that and you'll see who the star is. It's fucking Ronda Rousey.
It really was. People.
Ronda Rousey's the star. The rest of them can't hold her friggin' underwear, man.
She's a natural. She really is a natural.
Yeah.
I think
Rhea's.
Sorry, go ahead.
I think Rhea's got some natural talent in there too, but what would bring Charlotte down to NXT again? What would that do? That would make her look like she was small potatoes.
Ratings, you know? I guess. I don't know.
Charlotte has never brought any ratings when she went on the show.
I had to set you up for that one.
Yeah, the Charlotte Flair does not equal ratings, and go. And if anybody wants to disagree with me on it, go look at her things when she went over to NXT. She didn't, once again, draw flies to shit over there for ratings form. I think they dipped, actually. So AEW could thank them because it gave them probably another 40,000 viewers knowing that Charlotte was going to be there that said, I don't want to see her dumbass again. So they're saying, we're AEW's kicking our ass anyways. Here you go. Here's another freebie to them as a payment back to Cody Rhodes for making them stardust here. We're going to put Charlotte on so an extra 50,000 people go over and leave.
Wow.
She sucks, man. She is...
That's pretty brutal, man. That's pretty brutal.
Dude, she sucks, man. I'm telling you, like you hit it right. She can work really well with some people.
Yeah.
And in some people, it just doesn't matter. I think these two will work together well, I think, on this match, honestly. But I don't want to see Charlotte. Her promos suck. Mm-hmm. She's a shitty ripoff of her dad. I don't dig it, man. Fuck him.
Fuck him.
Get rid of her. Get rid of her. Let her go get married for the 19th time to somebody else there, and like her dad, and get the fuck off my screen. I'm so sick of her.
I'm going to pick Rhea as well. That's all I got to say.
Like, Charlotte drives me crazy, man. She's so annoying. Yeah. You know, like, woo!
I agree. I used to put her over as one of the best in the world, but this past year, she hasn't been good at all.
Kiss my ass, Charlotte Flair. You suck.
The Raw Women's title match, Shayna Baszler, who got called up from NXT, challenging Becky Lynch, who's been the champion since last year's WrestleMania. Is this a time to make Baszler the star and get the belt off of Becky, or do you think they still have... Do you think Becky is kind of the Roman Reigns of the women's division, where no matter what, people's opinions be damned, they're going to keep pushing Becky Lynch because that's what Vince likes to do? What do you think is going to happen in this match?
God help us if Becky wins. Please. I'm so tired of it, man, of her. She literally made me turn off Raw this week. I swear to God, man, I told you that.
Yeah, you did.
Raw.
Yeah.
As soon as she came on in that big rig, I was gone. She's cringeworthy to me. Like, I want the belt off of her. I want them to send her back to Ireland. Like, get her the fuck out of here. Deport her. You know? Just
she can go. She can go hang out with Husey.
Yeah, let's go send her with him, man. Go let them go drink some Guinness pints together.
They can quarantine together. Yeah.
Yeah, get them out of here, man. I'm so tired of damn Becky. She sucks. Please, God, let Baszler get this thing so I don't have to hear Becky weaken. But I'm still going to hear it because they're going to give her a rematch, and it's probably going to be 3 months of that shit. Just maybe Shayna will bite her neck really hard so that way she just doesn't come back until she gets, like, this plastic surgery to fix the chunk that Shayna bit out of her neck or something. Just give her time off, man. Get her off the damn screen. Please, Baszler.
I'm gonna pick Becky just because I got a feeling that Vince McMahon is going to still continue to fuck us all and keep her on top. I really think, you know, she's getting the Cena treatment. She's getting the Roman treatment. It's hard to bet against her when they've put so much money behind her this year, you know, putting her on the 2K cover with Roman, all the promo spots, you know, everything they've done to try to make her the new Conor McGregor, you know, herself calling herself the GOAT, for fuck's sake. This feels like a Vince McMahon match to me, and I don't think he's very high on Baszler. I don't think he sees superstar potential in Baszler. I don't think he gets her at all. So I got a really bad feeling that Becky's going to win this match. Even though I don't want to pick her, I'm gonna pick her just because of my gut feeling.
Well, you're probably right, to be honest with you, but Lord help us, man, I hope not.
I agree. WWE Universal title match. Braun Strowman being inserted into this match, taking on Goldberg. We don't think Goldberg was going to ever lose or was ever going to beat Roman Reigns, and there's no reason why he should beat Braun Strowman at this point. I don't know. It just this is such a hard one to pick, only because of the fact that I still think Roman was going to be the guy moving forward, and fuck, we don't even know what's going to happen to Roman after this. You know, he could be punished for all we know for pulling out of this match. Vince McMahon is a very vindictive person. I don't know, John. Do you see them pulling the trigger with Braun? They've never wanted to make him the world fucking champion, so why do it now? Why don't they just keep the belt on Goldberg until we figure out what's going on with Roman Reigns?
I want to see Braun get it, man. I've been wanting him to have
We all do. Yeah.
Yeah, give him a run with it. Let him go. Like, you can insert the Fiend right in there, and you have a naturally made storyline between these two anytime you want.
Right.
Like, Wyatt family member versus Wyatt family member. Or you could insert him, you know, or the Fiend to get it back from Goldberg. But you have to give this to Strowman now. It's time. Like, if he can't beat a 50-some-odd-year-old Goldberg, then what else? You know, he's going to get no credibility in anybody. I don't think Roman gets reinserted back in it. I think Roman's going to be out for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, I kind of agree. And whether just on his own or Vince just wants to be an asshole and bury his ass. But look, man, from what I've heard, they filmed several endings to some of these matches. And I don't think
people operate.
Right. And I don't think they even know which one they're going to use. I've heard rumors that Braun might win, but then lose to somebody else. I'm not going to cover that, but
yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Right. So, just the way they've booked Braun, I can't see him taking the title, especially just in a cold match against the fucking Hall of Famer. I mean, say what you want about Goldberg. Fucking guy has been a world beater over his career. Like, he's lost, what, maybe three matches his entire career? I mean, it's pretty impressive.
I'll tell you, it's less than 10.
Yeah, for sure. God, you know what? Again, a gut feeling I have, and I don't know anything that's happened. I'm going to go with Goldberg just until they straighten this shit out, because I have no faith in Braun Strowman, and they've had no faith in Braun Strowman.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
I lost to Sami Zayn recently.
I'm going to pick Goldberg on this one, just to see how this plays out.
I'm going to go with Strowman because I think they have something. And I don't know this match. I'm not giving anything that I'm predicting for the two matches I know have zero thing to do with anything I'm predicting as a fan, what I know, because I've heard they've taped multiple endings too. So I've only heard two matches. I haven't heard any of the rest. I didn't want to hear them. I didn't want to hear the two that I heard. Mm-hmm. But I don't, you know, with this one here, I think Braun's going to get it. And I think you might see a surprise person come in there at the end and somehow insert himself either right into the match or into. I think you might see him insert himself into the match potentially here.
I think
it might be one of the reasons why they brushed over it last night.
Okay, that's fair enough. Where's the 24/7 title been since what's his name? I don't even know the fucking guy. I forgot the guy's name that had it. Mojo's buddy there. Yeah,
Riddick. Riddick.
Apparently, R-Truth won it back a couple weekends ago and hasn't been seen since. Do you think, I mean, it would have been funny if they just would have had a quarantine video from Truth. Like, Truth said, I can't defend my title because of this. And then, like, you know how he fucks everything up, like, call it the swine flu or some shit like that. You know what I mean? Like, this goddamn, you know, fucking Chinese flu or whatever. But, like, it would have been funny to see something out of it. You know, like Truth quarantining himself, but it's pretty funny with 95 matches on this card. They don't have this involved at all. So
a rumor on the street on this one is that the 24/7 title, unfortunately, was one of the first people infected with the COVID virus, and the 24/7 title unfortunately did not get the vaccination in time, so it has been passed away.
Oh well, that's breaking news. So. Rest in peace, the 24/7 title.
No, who knows?
Yeah, I know.
That's what I would do. They get rid of the damn thing.
Yeah, I would too.
It's ran its course.
It really has. Our final match, which should be the final match, I think. If I think the match placement is what I think it's going to be, it's for the WWE title. It's the one that's gotten the most attention. It's Drew McIntyre challenging Brock Lesnar. God, you know, this really fucking sucks for Drew, and you know he's worked his ass off to get to this spot for the last 19 years. It has a title match in front of fucking nobody. And we'll probably win it. But that's got to suck, man. To work your whole career to reach what most people still consider the pinnacle of a pro wrestling is the WWE title. To win it in front of nobody, to not have your friends or family at ringside to celebrate with you, it's just... It's such... I hate it. I literally hate this whole thing, this whole event, for the men and the women, and for canceling the Hall of Fame this year, and for you know NXT being canceled. It's like I'm almost jumping on the bandwagon saying Vince should have canceled the whole fucking thing and just regrouped. But that being said, I still think this is going to be a fantastic match. I think these two are going to beat the living shit out of each other. And I still think they're going to go ahead with the push for Drew McIntyre taking out Brock Lesnar. And Brock will probably go home to back to Canada with Rena and whatever and quarantine for the next 6 months. So I'm going with Drew McIntyre on this one to become WWE champion for the first time in his career.
Yeah, I think there's no way if ands or buts that they need to do it that way. It definitely needs to be done. I really want to see Drew get his moment here, and I think this is the time to do it.
Yeah, I agree. So... there you go, guys. That's all 65 matches that we have here for WrestleMania 36. Too big for just one night.
Goddamn right, pal.
I guess we'll have 8 matches tonight and 8 matches tomorrow, or, well, with the kickoff matches. 9 matches. Like that, yeah, 9 matches tonight and 9 matches tomorrow. But we'll be back tomorrow night, Sunday night, for the wrap-up. We'll try to make it as quick and as painless as possible because we all have to work. Well, I have to work Monday morning. I don't know if you have to work, but
I technically do.
Technically do. God, this is such a bizarre fucking time we're in right now.
It's surreal, man.
Final thoughts moving forward, John. Are you excited to see what happens over the next two nights? Are you looking forward to any of the matches that are going to happen, or do you just want to get through this and just kind of?
I just want to see. I'm not overly stoked about any of it, to be honest with you. I would have rather have them waited, but. I understand from the same way, but it's WrestleMania. You know, I'm gonna watch both nights and check it out. And as I'm a wrestling fan for life, and I enjoy it. So I'm gonna be like we always talk about on our shows. I'm gonna be a fair person and give them a fair chance on this. And it's not their fault, you know. They're like Snitsky. It wasn't their fault. So I just want to see what they got to offer us. He had a documentary too. I watched today on the network there on Where Are They Now with him and Eva Marie.
Oh, so, no shit. I had no idea. I got to check that out.
It's a good watch. Go watch it and see what he's doing now. So
Gene Snitsky, man. That's a good callback, man.
He's got a beard down to his dick, man.
Wow.
It's long. Yeah. It's crazy looking, man.
All right.
He laughs about it. He's an interesting fella. So, but it wasn't his fault, and it wasn't their fault on this one, man. So they're doing what they have to do. Like I said, I would have rather seen him wait, but that's not the way it is. So I'm hoping it's going to be good. It's something interesting to watch. Lord knows there's no sports on TV. I love to watch sports, and this time of year I'll be watching baseball.
Yep.
So I don't have that. So
there goes our fucking baseball show that we're going to do this year, right?
Diamond Reality and reality smacking the shit out of it. Our baseball we were looking forward to ain't coming anytime soon either. Too. So fuck you, COVID-19. You ruined another show idea for us.
Yeah, way to go, COVID, you fucking asshole. So maybe we'll do like a true crime series or some shit like that. I don't fucking know, but
we have a good new true crime series on the network here that we're Success Network. It's called Binge Kill Chill. It's pretty good, actually.
Actually, it is, and yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. We have a newfound partnership with the Publisher Desk Network, so good to be partnered up with those guys. They have a lineup of their own that's growing all the time. I spoke with the owner of the network a couple days ago. He's looking to have some pretty big, lofty goals for all of us coming up here as soon as this whole COVID thing goes away. So very, very excited for our future with the Publisher Desk Network and having a great synergy with these guys. And I got to give you credit, John. This is all due to your hard work over at SportsKnot and connecting with these guys. And I got to put you over, man. You made the dream happen for all of us.
Well, hey, man, it's everybody's hard work. They wanted everybody to do a great job. And a great team over there, man. They got some really cool shows on there. I started listening to some of them. They have the official Las Vegas Raiders podcast over there as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We got a couple of football shows. So, and Art19 is a fantastic platform. We're super glad to be on Art19. I love them over there. They are awesome to work with. It doesn't change anything for any of the listeners, but they're awesome over there. So it's the cool things when you get opportunities in life. And we got a great opportunity because of the hard work that we've all put in on all the shows and everything. And it's everybody. And I was super glad when they made us an offer. I mean, RC Reality Check's not going anywhere. It's still the name and the network, but we're just co-partnered and co-branded with their network now and stuff and their platform. And we appreciate them. And it's a great partnership to be in with. And Jeff has a lot of great goals and Malcolm. So you're going to see big things, man. Jeff used to run freaking Fox. He was the vice president of Fox Media. So if that tells you enough about that right there, I'll just say that. So he ran the vice president of Fox Media. So he knows his stuff, and Malcolm knows his stuff, and the team up there knows their stuff. And Art19 is the largest platform in the world for podcasting for a reason. So, you know, it's going to be fun. It's just going to be more cool stuff for the great listeners of our shows.
Yeah, man, I'm totally excited for our future. So, all right, Johnny, let's wrap it up here, man. Where can we find you on social media? And do you have any projects that you want to plug coming up here with your other shows this week?
Yeah, go. We're doing a WrestleMania watch for the second day of WrestleMania. Should be out by then. We actually went back and watched WrestleMania 11 parts. I didn't think we were going to watch it all the way through, but we ended up just doing it. It was so far, we're halfway through it. We're going to finish it out sometime tonight, probably after, hopefully, if we're not too wrestled out. But we're going to be doing one of those just at WrestleMania there, so hopefully I'll finish it out some way or another tonight. But we'll have our Nitro show back next week, our look back at WCW Nitro. We're on right after Hog Wild, so it's going to pick up and get really good. We have a lot of great shows for our MMA show every week over there as well. You get one MMA show a week on Wrestling with Reality, and yeah, so that we're doing now. We got our YouTube show, Fig Life. It's doing really good. We're having a show that will drop on Sunday. It's breaking down all the new figure lines that's coming out with WWE. The new Fiend character is coming out in their line. I pre-bought it, pre-sale last night, actually.
Nice.
Yeah, they got a really cool line, so we're covering that on Fig Life. Go over and subscribe and check it out. And then we had a really great episode on we're back every week, running weekly episodes for 4 weeks straight now. So I told everybody. I'd be right back on that every week. So every Friday, there's a new episode of The Road to Redemption. A great episode this last couple weeks. We had Nikita Koloff on for one, and then I did a solo one this last week. And a lot of people are enjoying it, so go check it out too, Road to Redemption. And yeah, that's it.
You know, I want to really put over, all of our shows, obviously, but Fig Life is so entertaining watching you guys, like two little kids just talking about all your wrestling figures and stuff. Like, it's really, it's fun. And, we know Richie had a passion for it. Through meeting him, you developed a passion for it. I'm sure your wife wants to kill you with all the stuff that you've ordered, but it's fun. Yeah, it's fun watching you guys together, and I love Wrestling Anonymous. I can't wait for your Miss Elizabeth stuff.
That'll be out on Monday, I believe.
Okay, cool. And I lost my train of thought. Oh, Road to Redemption was very, very touching this week. Obviously, it covered the birthday of your late sister. And, it's your whole message was don't take life for granted. And I think that's something that people really need to focus on during these tough times is, you know, before this happened, we were just business as normal and just kind of going through the motions and you know, kind of focusing on our stuff. I've done it. I mean, obviously, now this whole stuff has happened and a lot of us are stuck at home or quarantined. You know, we took our families for granted and even the ones that are still here. And, you never know when something's going to happen and I could be gone. You could be gone. Our wives could be gone. Anything could happen. We need to be thankful for what we still have, and try to focus less on our own needs and maybe put other people first. And that's something that I've been trying to work on this whole time too. So really, really great message, John. I know it's a tough show for you to put out. I know it's a tough time of year.
It took me 3 hours to tape that 20-minute, that 25-minute long thing.
Wow, you wouldn't have known it. I mean, it was seamless. So,
yeah, I redid it 3 times, right on, right, and I hope I did, and I hope people gained something from it. I know a lot of people have listened to it now, and I've got some great feedback from people. So, I hope so. It was something that was just out from my heart, and things that I've made mistakes on, and that I do make mistakes on too. So that's why I kind of wanted to highlight it. There's so much negativity going on and there's so many bad things happening.
Yeah.
It's my small way to maybe try to help put some light to certain things and offer my insight from what I know in life. Not that it's right or wrong, but it's just what I feel. And, this is a good platform to be able to do it. And I'm glad to be on track with it every week. And it's a growing show. And I don't care about ratings and downloads on it. I mean, of course, I want lots of people to listen to it, but I do it for anybody that needs any, type of love in life and, any type of direction or things for myself too in there. So it's for everybody. So I say it's a show for everybody. It's not a show to just generate big ratings and downloads because it's going to be a slow burner because it's, not the demographic that people go to right off the bat when they're looking for motivational stuff, but a lot of people do. And it's getting some good traction, but it's not for that. It's for everybody that's out there. And I hope that everybody does listen to it.
It's my favorite project that you have.
I appreciate it. Thanks, dude.
I don't want to spoil what happened on this week's flagship. If you guys haven't listened to it, definitely please give it a listen to. It was a very, very bizarre show. Obviously, SmackDown got hacked this week, and my show got hacked too. And I don't want to tell you by who, but somebody somehow broke into my feed while I was recording live, and let's just say it's something that definitely needs to be listened to. I can't do it enough justice, so definitely check out the flagship from that I dropped this morning. next week, I will be on a show called The Grappler Gazette. If you guys have followed us for a while and you're on Twitter and you hang in the same circles, you know who the Brothers Grappler are. Well, I was asked by the Ocho, who it's just so funny because I have such a long-storied history with this guy. He invited me on their show to be a mediator in this game that they have called Crack the Track. Now, I know you listened to the show, John. You listened to last week's, we're Grappler 6-1. Well, it's Grappler 6 against Grappler 7. We end up playing 3 seconds of songs, and they have to buzz in and try to guess what the correct songs are. There's a lot riding on this one. If Grappler 7 wins, El Americano 6 will be forced to do an AEW review show with 7, and from obviously what we know about Grappler 6, he hates wrestling. He especially hates the flip-flops and flies at AEW, but I'm not going to give away what happens, but there's a lot riding on this show, and we recorded it last night.
Will they be watching it weekly if he loses?
Yes. They'll be doing a weekly AEW review show.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah. So definitely check out my appearance on the Grappler Gazette. Very, very entertaining show. They're doing very, very well in the charts. I have nothing but love for most of those guys. Not all of them, but most of them. And their production value is fantastic. Check them out anywhere podcasts are found. The Grappler Gazette, dirtier than the dirt sheets. And check me out for my appearance on that show. Coming up, dropping this coming Tuesday next week. So I know you're a regular listener. I know you'll be listening to it.
Yeah, I like it, man. It's a good show. I got to say, Ochi's good over there, man. doing good stuff, man. It's funny. He adds a lot to it. Seven is, Seven is a interesting character. He's definitely the loose cannon of the group. He's the Brian Pillman.
Yep.
And Six is a man of my heart, man. Six have had our issues in the past, but I got to say that Six is a man of integrity for a reason, and he's a straight shooter. So, you know, I've coined him that. He's run with it. I stick with it. We've had our beef, but it's long since done, and he's a man of integrity, and they put on a hell of a show there. But, you know, Seven needs another – he needs to get a crack back at his belt there, man, and get his belt back from him. And hopefully he gets his rematch here soon. And I'd even be in his corner there against the man of integrity just to make sure that it was a fair fight, because Brodus doesn't seem like he's a very fair referee.
I mean, no, he was paid off in the first match. So, I mean, that didn't last long at all. So
I would even volunteer myself to be the ref.
I'm pretty sure they'd be.
I'm a man of integrity, as they know. So yes. I would call it down the line.
Yes, you are a man of integrity. So, yeah, check that out. And I don't want to give away spoilers for our shows next week, but there's going to be some interesting things happening on all three of the shows next week. For the Raw review, the Wednesday Night War review, and the flagship, I'm going to have three special guests on each of those shows. So not giving away any spoilers. If you haven't listened to the flagship yet, check that out first. And we'll be back here tomorrow night live on YouTube. And also this will be pushed out to the audio feeds soon after. For the WrestleMania 36, too big for one night, post-game wrap-up show. Johnny, as always, buddy, I appreciate you being here, man. Good to talk wrestling with you, and I'll be looking forward to hooking up with you tomorrow night. So, until then, guys, thank you very much, John. Enjoy the festivities, one and all. Enjoy WrestleMania 36, and we'll be right back here for you, wrapping it all up tomorrow night. Take care, guys. Thanks again for listening to the Rad Turtles Wrestling Podcast. Once again, you can follow us on Twitter. We are at RadTurtlesPOD. And you can email the show, and we will read it on air. Our email address is radturtleswrestling@gmail.com. Thanks for tuning in. We appreciate all of your support. You have been listening to the Rad Turtles Wrestling Podcast, only here on the Reality Check Podcast Network.